Om Agyan Vrandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshuryam Vritam Veda Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. We are born in the darkness of ignorance. Our spiritual master is opening our eyes with the torchlight of knowledge, and therefore we offer our most humble and respectful obeisances in the dust of the Savage King. It's unusual to start without I'm sitting on the right hand of the Giriraj. And he's disappeared, so if I start then I have to adjust, so what am I supposed to do? Could I would like to know that. Should I start? Okay. Is anybody here who has not been to our temple in Houston, the Hare Krishna temple in Houston? Is anybody here? This is a visitor for the birthday and stuff from the housewarming. So everybody here has been to this town of Houston. Okay, so you're familiar with that. These programs of I think it's a birthday party, right? For the son of our host. Some of you may know Vatsal Prabhu and Mother Shashi Kala Prabhu, and they had a birthday party in front of their house. It was either last week or the week before. And Shashi Kala said I wasn't allowed to go on the bouncy thing. She said I was too old. She's not here, so maybe. Guru Bhakti introduced, my introduction was that I'd worked with youth for many years. I started in the late 80s and went on and continued through 2004. And then it minimized due to my health, and then, but still engaged. So we had an ashram where the boys lived. I lived with 15 to 30 boys year round, except for school breaks. And sometimes the parents would fudge the age of their child so they could get in early. Because when someone becomes a teenager, it's a very exceptional time of life. And I was asked many times, Maharaj, how do you, I have, you know, one teenager, I don't know what to do, and you've got, you know, 30 or 40, and things seem to be going quite smoothly. How do you do it? And I said, my body's changed to 40, 50, 60 years old, but inside I never passed my teens. So the heart is still like a teenager. So it understands that which goes on in teenage life and youthful life. So that being said, when we came and we saw the bouncy thing, Giriraj Maharaj says, well, we're in the right place. And I said, well, that'll be, we'll have to see that after the program. Yeah. But after we got out of the car and we saw all the nice devotees, wonderful Vaishnavas that were here, it was quite heart-opening. It was very much an opening of the heart for me, anyway. I don't know of others here. Because several things. In this world, we have to have certain things. Although our philosophy is, we're not this body, we're not this body, we're not this body, but we're residing in that we're not this body, this body. We're residing in this body. And in my readings of lately, Srila Prabhupada has explained that, well, one point brought up in the 13th chapter of the Gita is that he mentions that the body means senses. Without the senses, the body would be like a blob. Maybe there's a few people here old enough to remember a movie from the 50s called The Blob. It was just like some nun had no sense of just a blob going around, some not very functional. So, along with that, those senses come needs to be satisfied. And along with the rest of the body, there's certain needs that need to be fulfilled, such as having a home, companion. When you have a companion, there's generally children that go along with it. And there are so many aspects to it which are on the material side. They're on the material side. And whenever I consider this situation, there's a very nice, and I may have, if anybody's heard me give class before, I apologize because I may have mentioned it before, but it's a very poignant verse for this situation. In the, I believe it's the 8th chapter of First Canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the prayers by Queen Kunti. That's chapter 8 right now. So around the 42nd verse, at this point, Krishna is leaving and going to back to Dwarka. And Kunti Devi is praying to Lord Krishna for certain things. One of her prayers, I'm a little afraid to pray myself. And that one was, now that you're leaving, things are settled. Yudhisthira is fixed and things are settled. And everything's calm, the battle's over, and everything's calming down. But now you're leaving. So I wish that so many calamities would continue to happen, because then we can have your presence when those calamities are here. So I'm a little nervous if I go to Krishna and say, please let some calamities happen so that I can think of you more. That's a very bold prayer. You know, put me in distress, put me in need, put me in strife, put me in so many different conditions, so that I'll be forced to think of you. And then she prays, maybe the next verse or the next couple of verses, she prays to Krishna that please let my mind, my consciousness, always be drawn towards you, like the Ganges is drawn towards the ocean, like that. And not be deviated or disturbed by any other thought based on my family situation. Of course, she was related to both families. And so in the commentary, Srila Prabhupada mentions that this is the perfection of devotional service, to always have one's consciousness fixed undeviatingly on the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is our goal. So then Srila Prabhupada continues in the commentary. He says that this does not mean that one has to give up the finer aspects of life. He said this is not possible. He says that, actually I should have brought up the text, I could have read it. But, he says these interactions of our life that we have are, they're part of life, they're part of our nature, they're part of what's meant to be. And these things he included, like he said, such things as desire, anger, attraction, affection, different things like this cannot be given up because they are symptoms of life. They're symptoms of life. And to just discard them is not possible. Then he mentions that because of this situation, and we don't want to be bound by these material affections and material anger and material attractions and all these things, we don't want to be bound by that because we are striving for I learned the word yesterday, samsara moksha, escape from the repetition of birth and death. Escape from the repetition of birth and death. So, the Prabhupada's comment is that all these things can be present, but the object of their, the goal of their, our engagement in them is to be focused on Krishna. So many people, when we were driving up, we saw all the little signs, you know. I can't remember what the neighborhood is called. Yeah. What's this neighborhood? It has like a name, like something. Anyway, there are signs. Welcome to this, you know, suburb. You know, walking paths. So many different things were mentioned that were facilities that were here. And to attract us. So many people have moved into this neighborhood. But how many of them have done it in a way which has been offered to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna? This is the first time I've been to this neighborhood, so I would, you know, suspect if any other devotees were living here, they would have invited us also. So I'm suspecting that there's only maybe a few, and all the rest are living in the homes based on sense gratification. But when we enter different homes, we're aware of the environment. One of my friends, we always say when we go someplace, we'll do a vibe check. Yes. We're back, you know, we're part of the 60s, so no vibe. We have to check out the vibrations. So when you enter into this home and saw the house was full of Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. Vancha kalpa trubhyascha pitasindhu bhagasha patitanam pavanega vaishnavega namodhavaha. The Vaishnavas are just like desire trees, and they can fulfill the desires of everyone. they have that ability to fulfill the desires of every living entity. And they're full of compassion. Their hearts have changed from lust, anger, greed to one of compassion for all living entities. So, entering the house and having that experience brings joy to the heart, as I said in the beginning. It opens the heart. And then seeing that the main room of the house, most houses, they have different things as the main theme. We see here that the main theme of the house is the Guru Parampara and the Supreme Personality of Godhead in different aspects. Now I'm sitting here and I look around and all I can see is Krishna. I can't see anything else. So that means this house is none different than the Supreme Abode, Paramatma. It's none different than the Supreme Abode of the Lord. Because the Lord is present. The Lord is present here. And when we were walking in, the nice kirtan was going on, which I mentioned to our kirtan leader. It was very, very sweet. Kirtan was happening, bringing auspiciousness into the atmosphere of the home. It's like His Holiness Giriraj Swami yesterday mentioned that at the celebration of Nilamadava and Madhurya Radha's wedding, that the holy name is present here. It's not different than Krishna. This is proper use. This is proper use. And everything becomes centered around the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, sometimes one may think, you know, we have these different aspects of our life, which I mentioned, which were, you know, mentioned in that purport. Desires, you know, probably mentioned anger and attraction. We mentioned several things, I can't remember them all. So we have all those things, and if someone would say that, you know, well, it's okay to have a little bit of Krishna, but, you know, what about me? You know, how, you know, I got to be satisfied. I mean, Krishna, he, Abha Rama, he's so satisfied. And so I may need, like, you know, some portion. So Krishna explains that. That's explained in the Upanishads, that Bhunti, that one is given a certain quota of enjoyment, and a certain amount which will come his way according to his one's previous activities. He'll have a certain bodily beauty or lack of, or wealth or lack of, or education or lack of, or legal problems or no legal problems. You know, these different things are mentioned in the scripture. So, the fallacy is that if I turn everything over to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, then how will I be satisfied? That's a fallacy. Because if we turn everything over to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we actually put ourselves under His complete care, not just, we know the story of Draupadi. When she had one hand up, was crying for Krishna, Krishna was saying, okay, pretty soon, we'll see what happens. Then, you know, Draupadi became helpless, and then both hands were up, and it was just, okay, Krishna, now I have nothing but you. And what happened? Krishna protected her. So this is our mentality. in life, it doesn't matter if one is a brahmachari or brahmacharini student, a householder, a vanaprastha, a sannyasi. That doesn't matter. Whatever, they are known as ashrams, and they're meant. It's called brahmachari ashram, grihastha ashram, vanaprastha ashram, sannyasa ashram. And ashram means a place of purification. It's a place to become purified. So we spend our student life in the brahmachari ashram, and we spend our household life in the grihastha ashram, which is also a place of meant to be a place of purification. Srila Prabhupada mentions two words, grihastha and grihamedi. One is devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and one is devoted to simply enjoying the material aspects from this material world, which doesn't work, in case you haven't noticed. It just doesn't work. So, this idea of surrendering ourselves. One of my friends was, Prabhupada, this word pajante, Prabhupada translates into surrender. But if he was explaining prapadyante, that word pada is there, like, stepping. So what it means is moving forward towards Krishna. So that moving forward towards Krishna means surrendering unto Krishna, or moving forward to Krishna. So this grihastha facility that we're in right now is a stepping process of motion, coming closer to Krishna by utilizing it in the service of Krishna. Then we move forward to Krishna, and that moving forward to Krishna is a part of surrender. It means surrendering. We're surrendering to Krishna. And so this is very auspicious, that in any circumstance we have the opportunity in our educational pursuits, as in younger years, in our household pursuits, once we have to go to our occupational activities, in our retirement, vanaprast, in our renunciation stage, which is, just giving everything to Krishna. Ultimately, it's all in one sense, it's all meant for, everything is meant for Krishna. So, it's really a pleasure for us to be able to come to these programs and try to encourage everybody to move forward and surrender every aspect of their life in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the guidance of Guru and Vaishnavas. Of course, the Vaishnava Guru is always obviously Vaishnavas. But the Vaishnavas can do this. They can guide us through these obstacles of life. Krishna explains towards the end of the Gita, that if you become conscious of me, watch it. Durgani, Prasidati, that if you become conscious of me, you will cross over all the obstacles of life by my grace. But if you don't hear me because of false ego, because if we have false ego, that means identifying ourselves separately from Krishna as this material body, in relationship to our material environment, we don't hear Krishna, then he says you'll be lost. So As I was saying, the Vaishnavas are full of compassion because they see that everybody in the material world is simply lost without their relationship with the Supreme Lord. And so they try to spread Krishna consciousness. So you can utilize their home. Invite your friends and co-workers and whomever you may meet to your homes and engage in Krishna Katha. Mm-hmm. Speaking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, understanding who the Supreme Lord is, what my relationship to Him is, how to rekindle that relationship, how to participate in that relationship according to my situation. That's all there in Krishna consciousness. So this is such, you know, it's a very auspicious house. And it's a very auspicious day that everyone has come here now to fortify their growth in spiritual life. This is the duty. There in brahmacharya life, one is only dedicated to the service of the guru. He has no other option. In grihastha life, it's meant for charity. The best charity is giving Krishna consciousness. That's proper charity. And the Bhagavad Gita explains that charity in the mode of goodness is the proper place, proper person, proper time, etc. So we go out and our charity is Hare Krishna, giving out Krishna. And then we utilize our facilities in that vein, in that venue. We have a dear friend, one of our god brothers. He went, I've mentioned this before, one gentleman built a huge house, I mean, massive house. So my Swami friend went there for the housewarming, and when he walked in the door of this massive house, the main room had like 4 foot high Radha Krishna marble deities being worshipped very nicely. Very nicely taken care of. And so he said, because of this, this house is auspicious. Actually, beyond auspicious, it's a spiritual world. Where Krishna's present, it's none different than the spiritual world. He said, but all the other places around here, which are similar, he said, they're like snake holes. You know what the snake does, right? Srila Prabhupada explained that the mouse works very hard to build a house. He digs a hole and he builds a house under the ground. And then he finds a wife, and then they have children, and they're living in the in their mouse house. In the mouse house. And then the snake comes along and he says, oh, there's a mouse house. And he goes in and he eats the mice and he lives very peacefully. In the mouse house, it's now become a snake hole house. I just read recently that sometimes you have to be careful where you're walking in certain parts of the world, because if you see holes in the ground, you know there's snakes in it, you gotta be careful. So, what does snake mean? Snake means it's an emblem of death. It's an emblem of death. So we don't want the house to become like a snake hole, the emblem of death. We want the house to become a place of worship of the Supreme Lord, which revives life. Every aspect of our life will be, reviving our consciousness of the Supreme Personality of God. So this is my observation here today on this occasion. We were talking the other day. So I pray that it's a success, that they're successful in their efforts to advance in spiritual life under so many material conditions that they had to undergo. We'll have to undergo. So now we have this, at least they have this oasis. The house is like that, you know, the house is now an oasis from the effects of the external world, which we have to undergo. Every one of us has to undergo some, you know. Krishna says in the Gita that, you know, you have to perform some work, because if you don't, you can't even maintain yourself if you don't work. You have to do something. So they'll do their occupation and thought of Krishna and come home and they'll be Krishna. So it'll just be Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Very wonderful situation. So I'll stop here, and I thank everybody for coming to show their support and gratitude towards the new homeowners. Everybody should wish them well. Hare Krishna.